Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him, I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, my friend in trials sore. I go to him for blessings, and he gives them o'er and o'er. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest golden grain. Sunshine and rain, harvest of grain. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, and true to him I'll be. Oh, how could I this friend deny when he's so true to me? Following him, I know I'm right. He watches o'er me day and night. Following him by day and night, he's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now. I'll trust him when life's fleeting days shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy. He's my friend. We came through a season the last month, a holiday season we call Christmas, a holiday season where the world thinks of Jesus, a holiday season when I think the world thinks what Jesus did for us and could care less about what we do for him. We remember Jesus every week on the first day. We take great glory in what he did for us. We also, in turn, understand that we need to do some things for Jesus. So tonight, this is kind of a three-step approach. I want to talk about, first of all, who Jesus is. Second of all, what he did for us. And third of all, what can we do for him? I don't have time to read the whole Bible. So I've picked some different verses that are some of my favorites, things that I think make a lot of sense into what I want to talk about tonight. So as we talk about who Jesus is, I want to start this in Colossians. Most of it's going to be in John and 1 John. So we're going to start in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 25. Colossians 1, verses 15 through 20. This is what Paul has to say about Jesus to the church in Colossae. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fulfillment should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. That's what Paul had to say to the church of Colossae, who Jesus was. That's pretty all-inclusive as to what he had to say. The book of John, if you want to turn with me to John, the Gospel of John emphasizes the deity of Jesus, the Son of God. The book starts immediately in the beginning, in the prologue, to identify Jesus as the Word who was with God and who was God, and that Word became flesh. Throughout this book, Jesus makes declarations of who he is. So I want to take a look at what Jesus has to say about who he actually is. I want to start in John chapter 4. We're just going to kind of progress through John, so if you want to stay with me, we'll start in John chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 21 through 26. And it reads this way. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Then a woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. He declares in these verses that he is the Messiah. John chapter 6, verse 35. Go to verse 34. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. He's talking about spiritual thirst, spiritual hunger. He who comes to me shall never have either one of those. He declares here, I am the bread of life. Verse 48 continues this with a simple statement, I am the bread of life. John chapter 8. Verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, let's go up to verse 11. She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Those who follow me will have the light of life. Jesus proclaims here that he is the light of the world. Chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he is born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. All things can be seen through Jesus. All things can be accomplished through Jesus. So far we've seen that he declared himself as the Messiah. He's told everybody that he is the bread of life. Spiritually, you'll never want anything as far as hunger or thirst for the word. And now he's saying, I am the light of the world. Everybody can see through me. You can see what's going on. Chapter 10, we get into a little more heart about what's going on with Jesus. Verses 1 through 7. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Only come through the door. You can't go any other way. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they didn't understand the things which he had spoken to him. And then Jesus said to them again, going to reiterate what he had said, most assuredly, that means I mean this, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. So if you go back up, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in any other way, he's a thief and a robber. You can't get in any other way except through the door. Jesus says in verse 7, I am the door. You can't get into heaven any other way except through me. I'm the shepherd. Follow me. I am the door. chapter 10, verse 11. He goes a little further with this. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I'll die for my sheep. And we know he did. In verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. He reiterates that he's the good shepherd. He reiterates the fact that you need to get through him, through the door, in order to have a place in heaven. He's the shepherd. He will lead us. He will show us the way. So as we look at this, he says, I'm the bread of life. I am that light. I am that door. And now he's saying, I'm the good shepherd. Starting to seem pretty easy how to figure out how to get to heaven, doesn't it? Chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Let's go up to verse 24. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Then Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And in verse 26, he goes on, he says, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he says, do you believe this? That's a question we have to ask ourselves, isn't it? I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Meaning, they're going to have everlasting life, even though you die physically. And then she said to him, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And do you believe this? He's asking her, do you believe what I'm telling you? Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Do we believe that? He says he is. Chapter 14. Verse 6. Go to verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going and how can we know the way? Doubting Thomas, right? Jesus says to him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus makes a declaration here, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and you can't get to the Father except through me. So if you look at all we've looked at, being the light of the world, the bread of life, the light of the world, the door, the good shepherd, the resurrection and life, now he's saying, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and you can only get to the Father through me. And he's already told us he's the door. He's already told us that that's the only way you're going to get there. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on, you know him. And have seen him, talking about Jesus. Chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branches cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. And then he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. So if you abide in Jesus, Jesus is living in you, you bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Amen. I am the true vine. So we've looked at this as to who Jesus is. We're going to look at two more things before I finish this part up. But he says, I am the Messiah. I am the one that was prophesied to come. I am the Messiah. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the true vine. Those are all profound statements, exactly who Jesus says he is. John chapter 8, verse 54. This sums up what Jesus has to say in the book of John about himself. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, you can take this to the bank, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Boom, end of story. Say what you want to. Say whether I'm the light of the world, the door, the Messiah, I am. And then one last thing I want to look at is in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, about who Jesus is. Because this in turn sums up everything that we've just talked about. Let's go to verse 17. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Jesus is our hope. All these things that he's talked about in John, comes down to the end there, he says, I am. He is our hope. That's who Jesus is. Now, just a quick look at what Jesus did for us. Everybody knows he died for us, right? So we look at that and we say, okay, he was born on this earth. He lived here. He died here. He was buried here. And he was resurrected from here. So that we might have forgiveness of sin. So that through him we might have salvation. So that through obedience, we have a promise that God says, if you obey me, I will prepare for you a place. Okay? So, Jesus walked on this earth. He lived here, so obviously he walked on earth. He set an example for us on how to live, how to walk, how to do all the things that he did. He showed his love for everyone. An example for us. He gave us model prayers to follow, an example for us when we're talking to our Father. He obeyed his Father. He was baptized as an example to us. Bruce mentioned this morning, he and I got in a little teaching situation with someone about baptism. There's no greater thing that I can think of in the Bible except Jesus' example. He was baptized himself. How important is baptism? We can't discount it, even though a lot of people do. You take books, and I can take the book of Romans, and I can pull stuff out of context, and I can prove that you're saved by grace only. But when you incorporate all of God's word and rightly divide the word, you find out that's not true. But Jesus came here. He was an example for us. He died for us. That's what he did for us. Everybody understands. The world understands that. They understand Jesus died for us. What they don't understand is who Jesus is. And they don't understand that there's things that we need to do to say thank you to Jesus, if you will. And that's what I want to take a look at now. And I want to start this with Romans chapter 12. Because Paul lays out here pretty plain, pretty simple, a number of things that we need to do for Jesus. John chapter 12, starting with verse 9. Paul says, let love be without hypocrisy. Don't tell someone you love them and turn around and stab them in the back. Don't be a hypocrite about it. Don't do that to Jesus. Don't say you love him and then turn around and disobey him. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor, that means completely do away with what is evil. Well, bear in mind, these are things that we can do for Jesus. Cling to what is good. Why would that be? Well, if you're clinging to what is good, it's going to be easier to abhor that which is evil. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Well, we say that's not hard to do. Yeah, it is sometimes. It really is. Somebody gets under your skin a little bit or does something a little bit wrong. It's easy for us to humanly just say, I'm done. I see smiles. I hear a giggle or two. But it's true. You know, we can sit here and we can say the right thing. We can do the right thing because we're all Christians and we're all sitting in a worship assembly. Well, I have news for you. When you walk out that door, it's a lot different. It's a whole different situation what we run into when Satan's army comes after us. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honor. Now, this goes further now. It says giving preference to one another. Associate with one another. Fellowship with one another, if you will. Giving preference to one another. You guys mean more to me than the friends that I have in the world. Kind of love. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. That spirit abound. Serving the Lord. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope. Are we really happy about what Jesus did for us? Are we really happy about the hope that we have through him? We should rejoice about that. We should be telling people about that. Rejoice in hope. Patient in tribulation. There's a tough word. I hate that word, patient. You know, you hear about the guy? That's me. I want patience, dear Lord, and I want it yesterday. Paul's saying here, be patient in tribulation. You have trials and tribulations and things come up in your life. Be patient about them. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. That's how you become patient in tribulation. You talk to God. Let him help you. Sometimes we want God's help right now. Sometimes God doesn't want to help right now. He hasn't done putting us through what he wants to put us through. And we don't understand that a lot of times. But God's got his own plan. And I'll guarantee you, his plan overtakes ours. He supersedes whatever we want done. Love without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. And then in verse 13, he says, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Take care of one another. These are things that Paul has listed in Romans chapter 12. They don't near cover everything that we can do for Jesus, but it covers a whole lot. John 15 and 12. John 15, verse 12. Jesus says, this is my commandment. We don't have any choice here, people. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. What can we do for Jesus? Jesus gave his all for us. What can we do for Jesus? We can give what he's asking here is love one another just like I loved you, an undying love. Jesus came here to seek and save the lost of the world. So I guess I got a question right here is, are we willing to give up the world to seek Jesus? Jesus gave up everything for us. Are we willing to give up for Jesus? I think a lot of times we are, but there's times that, you know, that army of Satan gets in our head and says, nah, you know what, I can't give that up. But Paul's saying to do it. Jesus said to do it. 1 John 1. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we've already seen back over here, Jesus says, I am the light of the world, right? So if we walk in the light as he is in the light, what happens? We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now let's flip that. If you're not walking in the light as he's in the light, you won't have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus won't cleanse you from sin. That's the other side of the coin. So what can we do for Jesus? We can walk in the light that he set an example for us as we when he was walking on this earth. 1 John 5, verses 1 through 3. This has become a favorite passage of mine over the last 2 or 3 months. I've used it and used it, and it says so much to me. 1 John 5, 1 through 3. John starts out here and he says, whoever, that's all inclusive, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know we love the children of God. When we love God, let's just stop there, huh? Let's don't read the rest of that verse. When we love God and keep his commandments. It's kind of like Mark 16, 16. All you got to do is believe. Oh yeah, but there's some more of that verse. And be baptized. Well, John's saying here, by this we know that we love the children of God, that's you and me, when we love God and keep his commandments. That's where the love is shown. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, even though we think so at times. They're really not. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome our world, faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Who else is going to overcome the world? You can't, because you're part of the world. You're either part of Jesus and part of God, or you're part of the world. There's no medium line. You know, for years of my life, I was always going to put a sermon together. Can you get to heaven with a grade of C? You know, it's a passing grade in school, right? I've come to the conclusion I don't even need to preach that sermon, because it's not possible. You have to strive to be your best. And if you're striving to be your best, you're going to be better than average. There's a definition for average. You have the best up here and the worst down here, right? So if you're average, you're right in the middle. So do you want to be the worst of the best, or would you like to be the best of the worst? That's where average puts you. Being an average Christian isn't going to get you there, because you know full well in your own life you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing. Otherwise, you would think you're the best. If we're doing everything we think we can be doing, we're going to put ourselves in a best category. And John says here, whoever overcomes that world, and he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Who else can overcome this world? Nobody. Matthew 5, 16. We're going to end this here. This is my dad's favorite verse in the whole entire Bible. When he couldn't think of anything else, he quoted this verse. Matthew 5, 16. We all should know this by heart. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus walked this earth. He said, I'm the light of the world. You can only get through me. He was here for an example for us. Now, he's saying here, let your light shine before men. Well, how do we do that? By living the way God wants us to. By living the way Jesus wants us to. By living the example of Jesus as he walked this earth himself. That's how we let that light shine. We do good works. We love our brothers and sisters. We don't gossip. We don't tear people down. James says, watch your tongue. Don't let ugly words come out of your mouth. That's what we can do for Jesus. we let our light shine. Don't let any falsehoods come about. Walk in the light. Walk this earth as Jesus walked it. I've often said, and it's hard to live by sometimes, but if you're walking down the street or you're out in the world or wherever you might be, if what you're doing, can you honestly say, I would put Jesus on my hand, take him with me as I do this? If you can't do that, then you better look at what you're doing and make sure. A look at not only who Jesus was, what he did for us, but more importantly, what can we do for Jesus? Another step, another couple processes we can do for Jesus. Many of us have problems in our lives that we don't want to share with anybody. We just saw where we're supposed to have an undying love for one another. That means sharing our problems. That means letting someone help us go to God through prayer. It works. The other option we have is the baptistry is ready. If anyone in here has not put their Lord on in baptism, it's a command. Repent and be baptized. Both options are available tonight as we stand and sing the invitation song.